Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Bo Wolf. We're at the NovaCare Complex, and the Eagles getting ready for the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. Great show for you today. Got a little bit of Ike Reese in studio, a little cover two. Eagles coming off the loss on Sunday, and I think, Bo, we've gotten all the way past that game and focused squarely on Tennessee. A crazy week ahead.
That's exactly right. And Tennessee is a team that is better than their record indicates. They're not really bottom feeders like the Jacksonvilles and the Oaklands of the world. This is a team that has some talent, some emerging young guys on offense. And on defense, did you know that they have 15 different players who have notched at least one sack this season? That's the highest number in the league.
I did know that. You know why I knew that? I heard you talking about it on your at your desk yesterday.
Exactly right.
You
yeah.
were bragging to the whole office. Look what I found. Look what I found. Bo Wolf, the master of numbers here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's get you caught up with everything happening today. Chris McPherson out on the practice field. Our Eagles 360 update presented, as always, by Sports Authority.
Thanks, Dave and Bo. The Eagles embrace the opportunity to return home to Lincoln Financial Field this Sunday, where they have won 9 straight regular season games.
We got a great atmosphere here. You know, the fans are awesome. You know, we've playing at home is an advantage for us, but we got to keep it that way. We got to continue to play well at home.
We're going to the Link. When we go play the Link, we're going any team that comes in there. We want to win, you know, and we really want to win that game.
The Titans play an aggressive defense under coordinator Ray Horton, which could force the Eagles to keep in extra blockers. It's a good thing that the Eagles have the best blocking tight end in the league in Brent Celek.
Brent's an outstanding blocker. I think he may be the best blocking tight end in the league. So I think part of what we do, I think he's a sure-handed receiver. He had a huge game against Carolina. We could go ahead over 100 yards receiving. So I don't think it has anything to do with Zach. It has to really do with how well Brent Celek's playing.
Zach Ertz, meanwhile, bides his time. He is working hard behind the scenes, waiting for his opportunity.
I mean, I get open, I think, as well as anybody in the game. The blocking's coming along well. I don't think it's a negative aspect of my game anymore. But coach makes the final decision, whatever he wants, I do. I mean, early in the year, I might have taken it personally, but now I'm just kind of taking it in stride.
I think he's leaps and bounds ahead of where he was last year. He's continuing to get a lot better at it. He's working at it. I mean, he wants to be good. He wants to be great. And he knows that he's got to get better at his blocking, and he's been doing that, and I think, you know, it's starting to show up.
I think Zach Ertz is on the field for us. So we have two very, very good tight ends. So, you know, I think the one thing that I love the questions. We have 46 guys on our team, but only a certain amount of guys can play. So Brent Celek's doing a hell of a job. So it would be a very injustice if I told Brent he has to sit because we want to put someone else on the field. So
rookie quarterback Zach Mettenberger is expecting to feel the heat from the Eagles' defense.
Obviously, you know, the two ends they have, you know, Barwin and Cole, they're definitely, you know, some stud players. You know, they get after quarterback and they do a good job of what their defensive coordinator asks them to do. So we're definitely going to be aware where they are, you know, at all times.
On the injury front, quarterback Nick Foles is still out with a collarbone injury. The only other player not to participate in Wednesday's training session was guard Matt Tobin, who has a concussion. Andrew Gardner took the first team reps at right guard in Tobin's place. I'm Chris McPherson, and thanks for joining us in the Eagles 360 update presented by Sports Authority. Let's send it back inside the studio for more with Dave and Bo.
Well, obviously a big game for the Eagles looking to bounce back from that loss to Green Bay. Dave, what do you think will be the keys for the Eagles on Sunday?
Well, Eagles, the keys are the same. Play good football and beat a team that you should beat. Take care of business, and then let's get ready for the Dallas Cowboys. Don't let the Tennessee Titans hang around in this game, and that's just my perspective. We've got more perspective for you on the way here on Eagles 360. Our Cover 2 segment on the other side, Shield Kapadia, PhillyMag.com. Howard Eskin from Fox Philadelphia and, of course, WIP. How does the perspective on the outside of this Philadelphia Eagles team change after Lambeau Field and heading into this Tennessee game? Let's find out when Eagles 360 returns.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win!
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
A America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
The Eagles and NRG are proud to bring you a collectible poster series available each Thursday during the month of November. Pick up the Philadelphia Daily News next Thursday and collect all four pieces thanks to NRG. We welcome you back. Dave and Bo here. Time to throw it over to the Fan Cave, our Eagles Cover 2 segment with Shiel Kapadia and Howard Eskin, hosted by Chris McPherson.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to this week's edition of Cover 2 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to recap the loss to the Packers and look ahead to a big showdown this Sunday with the Tennessee Titans. And to help me do that, I brought in Howard Eskin from Fox 29, also the Eagles radio sideline reporter, and Shiel Kapadia from Birds 24/7. All right, gentlemen, we've seen the last 2 weeks the highest of the highs with the win over the Panthers and the lowest of the lows with the loss to the Packers. Howard, I'll let you start off here. Who exactly are the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, they're not the team that played against the Green Bay Packers, that's for sure. I think the Packers would have probably beaten anybody on Sunday. They're really a good team. I still think they're going to win the division. They're better than every team they play the rest of the year. Not that they'll win every game. I think they'll probably lose two of those games. I can't figure out which two. One will probably be to Dallas because they play them twice in 3 weeks, which is really an unfair part of anybody's schedule. And I don't know the other one, but they could win. I don't think they'll lose more than two, but what they did against the Packers obviously was bad. I think that's going to change against Tennessee. However, they're not a bad team. They're a good team, but I don't know that anybody could have come into Green Bay on Sunday and beaten that team the way they played. Teams could have come in and made it closer, but they weren't going to beat the Packers.
Shiel, have you changed your mindset about who exactly the Eagles are in 2014 from Sunday's game?
You know, I still think they're a pretty good team, and we're going to find out. You have the Tennessee game, and then, as Howard mentioned, you have Dallas, Seattle, Dallas. You'll know at the end of that stretch what this team is. But from a defensive perspective, you can certainly chalk a lot of it up to Aaron Rodgers and kind of running into a buzzsaw. My concern would be more on the offensive side of the ball. Even after that Panthers win, Chip Kelly said he didn't think the offense played well. Certainly the offense didn't keep them competitive there in the first half of that game. So I think they need to tighten some things up in the run game, take care of those turnovers. We've been talking about it all season long. That's kind of where the concern is for me right now with this team.
Shiel, what are you seeing from LeSean McCoy? He put up some decent numbers Sunday against the Packers, but has not had that breakout game that everyone has expected in a while. What's your take on McCoy's performance thus far in 2014? Are you seeing something vastly different than what he did last year when he was an All-Pro?
Yeah, I just actually rewatched the game this morning, and really I didn't see a lot of opportunities for LeSean McCoy to pick up chunks of yardage. I don't think the offensive line played particularly well against the Packers. I think the previous week it was more about the defense, and certainly there are some one-on-one opportunities against safeties and linebackers that you'd want McCoy to win more, but to me it's more about the blocking and the scheme, and they're healthy now, so there's not a lot of excuses. Those guys have to do a better job in the run game.
Howard, how good is it that Tennessee comes to Philadelphia this weekend? The Eagles have won 9 straight regular season games at home.
Yeah, obviously they're good at home. That's a factor. But I think the Eagles get a break on somebody else's schedule. Tennessee played a really tough game Monday night against Pittsburgh. And teams that come off the Steelers don't normally have good – they're one of those teams that affects the team for the next game. They don't really have good games. I think the Eagles will crush this team on Sunday, crush them. And there's a factor – and Connor Barwin made this point, and I heard other people make the point – when the coaches tell you after a win, you know, we got to clean up some things and you made some mistakes, and they'll tell you that. Players don't they accept it, but don't really listen as much after a win as they do after a loss. And I think now the players will have the attention of the players, and I think those mistakes will be cleaned up a lot better after that loss. So the combination of Tennessee coming off Pittsburgh, the Eagles coming off a loss, and you don't lose back-to-back games if you're a good team, and the Eagles are a good team. And that's the way I look at this game on Sunday.
Gio, last year when the Eagles lost to the Denver Broncos 52-20, the defense bounced back, and it was the 9 straight games of allowing 21 or fewer points. Do you see the defense bouncing back in a big way against the Titans?
I think they should be able to. You know, that's certainly not a juggernaut offensively. But I'll tell you what, Chip Kelly's whole every week is the Super Bowl philosophy will be tested, because it's human nature. You're coming off the Lambeau loss. You've got Dallas on Thanksgiving, 4 days later, to really focus in and take care of business. I don't think the Titans are a great team, but hey, they played the Steelers pretty tough. You know, it took until the end of the fourth quarter for Pittsburgh to put that game away. So I think the Eagles are in a good spot. I think they will win this game, but part of me wants to make sure, you know, these guys don't look past that game.
I'm just going to throw in a dent in that. I think the Steelers stink. All right? So they're not a good football team.
You just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah,
on top
I just
of them.
Want to throw
just
that
bury
in
them
there
right there.
Because the Steelers are just not that good. And Tennessee, that was their season. It was national TV. It might be the only national TV game I think they had the whole season.
Yeah.
Or they have the whole season. So they have that. They have a quarterback that's trying to prove himself. They have all these factors. And their whole season went into that one game. So I don't necessarily think Tennessee is that good for the factors that I just mentioned. But it's not about Tennessee. It's about the Eagles playing well, both on offense and on defense, and I think they will play, obviously they'll play better than they did against Green Bay. I think they'll play much better. Just to throw something else in, it'll be nice. The Cowboys are okay. When the Cowboys lose and then the Eagles win going into...
You got all these stats.
These things figured out.
He's Professor Eskin. He's Teal Kapati. I'm Chris McPherson, and thank you very much for joining us in this week's very educated session here of Cover 2 on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, obviously, the Eagles coming off that loss in Green Bay, now tied atop the division with the Dallas Cowboys. All eyes really on that Thanksgiving game, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Still, the NFC East is going to come down to these last 6 games.
Yeah, it's really exciting times for the Eagles, and a player has been through this before. Ike Reese, obviously a Pro Bowl linebacker with the Eagles now, working in the media here in Philadelphia. He'll visit the studio, and we'll talk about the 7-3 Eagles as they prepare for Tennessee on Sunday afternoon.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
We welcome you into the studio here at the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with former Eagle and current WIP host and co-host of the Game Plan Show here on the Eagles Network, Mr. Ike Reese, who has had his butt kicked on the football field before.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
That is the situation the Eagles face coming off that tough one in Green Bay, preparing for Tennessee. What goes through a player's mind?
Well, I tell you, when you play a game the way they did Sunday against Green Bay, I honestly believe it's a little easier to get over a game like that than it is a close loss. Because with a close loss, you're analyzing every play of the game that you wish you could have done differently. They know that's not truly who they are. You know, 53-20, that's not the Eagles team we've seen here. And so it may be a little easier to move past that game because, you know, that was sort of like an out-of-body experience. You know that you're not going to put a performance on the field like that again. It's embarrassing. You want to move on from it. I guarantee you every player on this team more than likely wish they could have played Tennessee the day after that game Sunday, because you want to hurry up and get another game under your belt so that you can't get that bad taste out of your mouth.
So staying with the psychological aspect here, now you've got Tennessee. 5 days after that, you've got Dallas. Is there a concern? I mean, how do you focus on Tennessee?
Well, that'll be interesting. I think the loss to Green Bay actually helps the Eagles focus on Tennessee. You know, you go up there and you beat Green Bay and everybody's telling you how great you are, you're on your way to the Super Bowl, you may look past Tennessee thinking that's an automatic W, focusing on the next big matchup, the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. So to have that game play out the way it did Sunday, I certainly believe going into this game versus Tennessee, they won't be overlooking the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and you know, actually, when I was watching Monday Night Football and watching Tennessee really take it to Pittsburgh for most of the game, I was like, yeah, good. That means right. The Eagles are going to watch this film and say, this is a good foot. 2-8 team, still a good, I mean, they come after you. They're young. They've got energy. They're going to attack you at the line of scrimmage with that Ray Horton defense. It's record may not say it, but it's a good football team. We've seen crazy things happen in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think the one thing about this team, which is why I'm not overly concerned about the loss to Green Bay, because the Eagles know that they're a good football team. They've had enough success under Chip Kelly here to know that they're a good football team, so their confidence won't be shaken. And you see a team like Tennessee play as hard as they did Monday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to force you to go in and prepare this week as if you're playing an 8-2 team as opposed to a 2-8 team. So I don't really have much concern as to whether or not mentally the Eagles will be ready to play Sunday. They'll come in ready to play. They'll do all the things they need to do to prepare for Sunday's game. They won't overlook the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee will have to play an A game plus in order to beat the Eagles here Sunday at the Link.
Like your read on this offense, so close. Move the football, you know, fourth in the NFL in points scored. But if you take away the defensive touchdowns and the special teams touchdowns, drops down to the middle of the pack. What is not clicking with this offense?
Well, I would have to say the running game. If I'm looking at it from last year compared to this year.
Why?
Well, you know what? That's the big question, Dave. And we've given several different explanations to it. Some of it has to do with the lack of continuity on the offensive line because so many guys have been out the first part of the season. Some of it is Shady at this point, 26 years old. He led the league in carries last year, over 300 carries. If you look back at the history of running backs who lead the league in carries the following year, they don't have the same productivity because of the wear and tear on your body. And then the elephant in the room is how much space is being provided for those big runs. What I noticed last week against Green Bay, there weren't very many negative running plays. I don't think there were any. There were 2-yard gains, 3-yard gains. What you're missing from the running game this year as opposed to last year is that 20-yard run, that 25-yard run that we would see in the fourth quarter from Shady that we're not getting this year.
When you say elephant in the room, you mean DeSean Jackson over the top
and
the safety playing over the top.
Yeah.
Now teams are playing a safety down in the box.
I think it is. It's much more congested this year for Shady once he gets past the first wave of defenders, whereas in years past you get past that first wave of defenders. Now you only have one guy to beat, or maybe that guy isn't even there until you're 15 yards down the field. So the Eagles haven't been able to create that space in the back seven that we've become accustomed to seeing. Even Shady has become accustomed to seeing, which would give us those big runs.
Interesting. Well, we'll see how it plans out here the rest of the way. 6 games remaining. What do the Eagles do here in the final 6 games? Give me a number of wins.
They certainly don't go any worse than 4-2, but 5-1 is definitely a possibility.
5-1 gets you to 12-4.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good season.
Pretty good.
That's a fantastic season.
It's
a great season, but the climate of Philadelphia is such that we kind of hear people expecting it all to be easy.
You know what it boils down to, Dave. eventually it's going to be what you do in the postseason.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx the team. I believe they're going to the postseason. I think they're one of the four best teams in the NFC. It's all about putting it all together in the month of December, keeping everyone healthy, and playing your best those last few weeks going into the postseason.
Start Sunday against Tennessee. Ike Reese, we thank you so much for joining us in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region. Welcome back to Eagles 360. I'm Dave Spadaro. Time now to go to the Fan Cave, where our other Eagles insiders, Bo Wolf, Chris McPherson, and Fran Duffy, discuss the state of the NFC East.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to this week's Bob's Discount Furniture Presents Around the NFC East. And I'm joined, as always, by Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy. And as we look at it to week 12 of the NFL season, the NFC East is certainly a division of the haves, with the Eagles and the Cowboys atop at 7-3, and the have-nots, with the Giants and Washington tied for the bottom at 3-7. Dallas comes out the big winner this week with the bye week. Thanks, Brian Thomas.
Not a good week for it.
No. They come off the bye. They're now tied for first place. The thing with them, there's always some kind of drama in the background. It's involving now Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray, talking about their contract situations at the end of the season. How will the team handle them? And the Cowboys are saying, you know, we'll use a franchise tag if necessary. And that's something that players don't really want to hear.
Yeah, and you saw them before the bye week. That was when all this stuff started to leak into the media, when they were out in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the question going into that game was, are they going to be able to put that behind them and, you know, shield out the noise and go out and win the football game? And they were able to do it. Now, will they be able to do that over the long haul? That'll be the question.
So the thing to watch with them will be, how does DeMarco Murray play? This is in my estimation, because the Eagles are going to see this team twice the next three games going Thanksgiving night. And with DeMarco Murray, he's already surpassed his career totals, not only in rushing yards for the season, but in carries. Now, he said this week that, you know, he feels like he can keep the workload going. He feels he'll be able to be strong in the second half of the season and that he's ready to carry the Cowboys to the playoffs. I want to see it in action. And it starts this Sunday night for them against the New York Giants.
Against the Giants, who were coming off a nice five-interception performance from Eli. I was hoping he'd get to six. But, obviously that's a matchup that favors the Cowboys. But we saw what happened when they played Washington earlier this season. Those NFC East games, you can never count on the expected results. So it could be a tight one on Sunday night.
The Giants have had issues against the run over the last month and a half or so. So this would be, in theory, a good matchup for the Cowboys.
I was really hoping the Giants could help us out.
when they played San Francisco on Sunday. Eli with his 5-interception performance.
I'll take the win on this Sunday versus last Sunday.
I will agree.
Get it this Sunday.
I will agree. But it's true. Playoff seeding and stuff, just hoping they could knock out the 49ers once and for all. But Eli Manning just regressing to his 2013 self with those 5 picks.
I didn't get to see all 5 of them, but the one I did see was hilarious.
Did you see ODB on the back cover? He was on the back cover. It was the Post or the New York Daily News. I forget which one, but I think it was Mad as Odell was the headline, and it just showed him just furious after one of the picks.
He's the only good player on the team.
So. Right.
And he actually showed great hustle on one of the interceptions, trying to track down the person who picked it off to tackle him to prevent a touchdown. So,
very talented
good player.
I was in the press box in Green Bay, so I didn't get to watch much of it, but it doesn't sound like I missed much other than the interception.
We were sitting here in the studio, same studio we're filming now, just saying, come on, knock the Niners out. So.
San Francisco tried to give them that game multiple times, and they just couldn't capitalize.
So, again, Giants 3-7, they play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. The way Sunday Night games have been going, like, you expect a blowout. Now, Washington, coming off the bye, they were 3-6. We talked about in the last time we got together how the last time they were 3-6 back in 2012, they ran the table and won the division. Not going to happen this time around as they get thumped by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-7. And all the drama in Washington is about Robert Griffin III. What's his long-term future going to be there? And now players and the coach, Jay Gruden, throwing him under the bus. DeSean Jackson taking his shots and admitting that he has issues with them. And Jay Gruden just openly slamming his quarterback to the media.
I mean, you listen to these quotes, it's like, Robert has some fundamental flaws. His footwork was below average. He took 3-step drops when he should have taken 5. He took a 1-step drop when he should have taken 3. He stepped up when he didn't have to step up and stepped into pressure. He read the wrong side of the field a couple times. Just rolled off a list. It was, point after point after point. It was kind of refreshing to hear a coach be that blunt about a quarterback that was struggling the way that that RG3 has been.
Generally speaking, when you hear like a coach blast player in the media or vice versa, it's like sort of a media creation. I think it's 90% of the time overblown. The stuff that he was saying about Robert Griffin is like he was throwing serious shade at RG3. I mean, they've got serious problems, and it happens every season for him, but. It's going to just be fun to sit back and watch how it all develops.
Yeah. I wonder, does Jay Gruden want to go to Colt McCoy? I wonder if
he wants
to go to the owner and just say, Colt can run this offense better than Robert Griffin III can.
But that's what I mean. The problem is that might be the way to go short term, but long term, they have to know what they've got in RG3. Like, if he can't do it, they need to know that going into
the offseason. He might already know. He might be by saying all this, know that RG3 is not going
to
be his guy moving
forward. But he might have to prove
that
to the guys upstairs. So that it'll be an interesting last few games for Washington. So
I know how DeSean feels, though, about the not being able to do epic stuff with basic people. Believe me, I feel that way all the time.
Thank you. It's good.
You're saying that right now, I'm going to say. So for Fran Duffy and Boav, I'm Chris McPherson. Thanks for joining us in this week's edition of Bob's Discount Furniture presents Around the NFC East.
Thanks very much, guys. When we return to Eagles 360, Boav back in studio. We take a look at the Eagles and the Houston Oilers. Past team here. Obviously, the Tennessee Titans haven't been in Tennessee forever. A game that you will remember. The Houston Oilers brought the house. What do the Eagles bring? We'll find out on the other side when Eagles 360 returns.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
The tournament is there. You're here. And before you take the team's star midfielder from here to there, along with his entourage, you have some things to do, like finding a place to stay, getting an oil change, mapping out the best route. Yes. Are we there yet? No. Roadside assistance?
Yay!
Not today, but always on call. So wherever your journey takes you, AAA helps you get there. So everyone's a winner. Start your journey at AAA.com.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Bo Wolf. The year was 1991. And you were how old?
Five.
I can't stand you. Well, I was in the Houston Astrodome when the Eagles played the Houston Oilers, and that game, the subject with Dan Klecko as the host of our old school all 22 segment, the House of Pain game.
I'm not going to do a big setup here. House of Pain, coming out party for Seth Joyner. Let's take a look at it.
Jerome Brown may have summed it up best in December of 1991 when he said, "They brought the house, we brought the pain," as the Eagles' defense locked down the Houston Oilers' run-and-shoot offensive attack. They racked up four sacks, forced six fumbles, and held Warren Moon and company to just 6 points. The game was a coming-out party for Seth Joyner, who, despite suffering from flu-like symptoms, recorded two sacks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery, building a reputation as one of the best linebackers in the NFL.
So we're going to look at three quick plays for Seth Joyner, one of his best games ever, kind of letting the NFL know, I'm here, I'm one of the best NFL linebackers. Let's take a look at it. First one's pretty simple, slide protection. So he's going to blitz from the outside. He's right here, and they're going to put the back on him. Total mismatch. Every outside linebacker's absolute dream. No match for him. Let's rewind that again. Look at this back. It just kind of gives you, he gives you one of those. Seth Joyner just gives him the olay. Warren Moon, forced fumble. Great play by Seth Joyner. All right, next play we're going to look at. He's right here, right in the middle, playing the mic right here. As the play starts, you could see he's got him man-to-man. You could just see it by the way he goes over there. Obviously, it's a draw from Warren Moon. I want you to look at who this is right here. And for you young guys out there who don't know who that is, that's one of the greatest offensive guards to ever play the game. That's Bruce Matthews. He's going to have to block Seth Joyner one-on-one. Total mismatch, in my opinion, once again. Jumps around him, does a great job right here. Forces the fumble. Eagles recover. Another great play by Seth Joyner. All right, here, let's look at the third play. First of all, I want you to look right in here. This is going to be a great game by the D-tackles right here. He's going to pick him. Jerome Brown's going to come around, spin off of it, and force Warren Moon out of the pocket. But here's the thing. Here's Seth Joyner out here. I want you to keep your eye on him, because what he does is he never quits on the play, and they're going to force it out to him, so I want you to see it right here. Pitch right there, he's going to pick off the center, Jerome's coming around doing a spin move. Warren Moon, coverage does a great job. Let's look at Seth Joyner. Doesn't win right away, not right away, but he sees this all being forced out to him. Never quits on the play, and this was this defense's MO, of course, one of the greatest defenses in the history of the NFL, and he was one of the main leaders of it, and that was three of his best plays from that game.
The Eagles and the Tennessee Titans in focus here. Yes.
Did you know the Eagles have never beaten the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I did know that. I just found out a few minutes ago.
Well, there you go. Beating the Oilers, never the Titans.
Last time the Eagles played the Titans, what happened?
Kenny Britt, Ellis Hobbs.
Who was
Kerry
the quarterback
Collins,
for the Eagles that day?
Kevin Cobb.
Kevin Cobb, indeed. Well, the names have changed. The situation is the same, though. One team on one sideline, one team on the other sideline. It's NFL football. Why not? The Eagles at home trying to extend that 9-game winning streak. And Titans head coach Ken Wisenhunt holding his conference call today with the Philadelphia media. Let's hear what he had to say.
They've been an effective offense the whole time. I mean, what they do is certainly different than what you normally see weekly, but they operate their offense very well. You know, you're always going to face teams that are trying to do different things to stop what you're doing, whether you're running the offense the Philadelphia Eagles run or somebody else runs. But, you know, once again, I think the thing that stands out to me is how consistent that offense has been over that time.
The full conference calls from quarterback Zach Mettenberger, head coach Ken Wisenhunt, available in their entirety on PhiladelphiaEagles.com right now. your feelings on the game right now as we sit here on this Wednesday afternoon?
I feel good about this game. Only once, really, under Chip Kelly have the Eagles lost a game they really should have won. That was in Minnesota last year. I think that the Eagles will take care of business coming off that embarrassing loss to Green Bay. I think they'll be very focused.
Got a tremendous 8-day stretch in front of us starting Sunday as the Eagles look to make it 10 in a row at Lincoln Financial Field. And then we turn our attention, of course, to Thanksgiving Day and the Dallas Cowboys. That'll do it for us on Eagles 360 today. For Bo Wolf, I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.